So thanks to everybody who could make it tonight. And we're here with John Grasty. And first of all, John, thanks so much for staying up late to chat with us a little bit tonight. So just real quick, let everybody know where you're at for those that, that may not remember the last time you came through, and just let us know how things are going.
Well, thank you, Ethan. So, as Ethan said, I'm John Grasty, and I am right now in my dining room in Ljubljana, Slovenia. So, I don't know, 4,500 miles or so away from y'all, maybe 4,000, I don't remember exactly. In Central Europe, so we're sitting right in between Italy and Austria, Hungary and Croatia. So sort of right at the crossroads between Western and Central Europe. And of course, the Balkan, the Balkans hanging off to the side. And we are a church planting right outside the capital city of Ljubljana in the community of Domžale. Been having weekly Bible studies and other events for a year now. Had our first Sunday service, I don't know, about a month and a half ago now, and no idea when we'll have our next one.
So the timing on that was pretty interesting, right? How many weeks before the COVID crisis was your first service?
It would have been, like, we were already tracking it because of Italy. And so we would have had our first service right maybe a week before the first cases appeared in Italy, somewhere right around there. And because of our proximity to northern Italy, the Slovene government, well, fairly early placed travel limitations and then limitations on everything else.
Yeah, we know. We were supposed to be with you, as you know. So we were supposed to come and visit when everything happened. So catch us up to speed with what's happened in the church. You know, walk us through the Bible studies that happened and the property that you got and the church and then how you all are dealing with the situation now.
Sure. We ended up having to look for about a year to find a piece of property that really was sort of suitable and met our needs. In the community there, where we're looking to plant, which right within sort of the town limits, it's not particularly large, probably around 13,000 to 15,000, and then the whole municipality is 40,000 people total. Real estate was rather tricky in that everything was either extremely expensive and you got very little for it, or very small and unsuitable for our purposes. So it really took a year of constant looking to finally find a property that was suitable. About 700 and, I mean, it's not a particularly large property as it is, but it works well. It'll work well for us up to probably around 30 to 35 adults, and then a separate space for children or a second group. Something else can be going on sort of over in the side small room. But it's in a great location, centrally located in the community, visible to foot traffic, visible for passerbys, easy to give people directions to get to, public parking, public transit, everything's close by. And so it really worked out well over the last year. Well, since last February, we've been having weekly Bible studies. Part of the reason for that is there's a number of Christians are either in the community or just outside of the community that were part of other churches. And before they left those churches and become a part of ours sort of on a full-time basis, we wanted the time to really be able to get to know everybody, lay out our vision of what the Bible teaches a church is and teach, you know, what a church should teach and all of those sort of things. So it was an important time for us to build that common foundation But we started even towards the end of last year in the fall doing a number of outreaches. At some point, let's see, I don't know that I've ever done screen sharing on Zoom. Let me see if
it's coming. There we go.
All right. Let me see. Actually, let's start at the beginning. So we started doing some things. We've been having good news clubs for kids, basically elementary school age, essentially from like second grade, fifth, sixth grade, for the last year. And here's a selection of some of those kids. We had a Lego outreach, which unfortunately all those pictures were on my wife's phone and I fell asleep leading up to our meeting. So you will not get to see any of those. But the even in this picture, I think four of these kids were actually new kids that came to the next Good News Club after we had our Lego outreach. And so we've been having a number of things going on there in the community, even before we started with Sunday services. In the fall, at the end of October, we had our stand set up for the first time. And this is right close to, you see the billboards in the background in this picture, about 20 yards at the most to the right is the entrance to the city market. And so we'd set up our little stand on Saturday. The plan was we started with some sort of around major Christian holidays. End of October, you're thinking, well, what Christian holidays there? Obviously not Halloween is not what we're going for. But it's also the day we celebrate essentially the first Slovene gospel-believing Christian, around 500 years ago. And he was significant. He's a national hero, sort of like almost like Ben Franklin for Americans, because he sort of codified the Slovene language. And he did it entirely so people would be able to read and understand the Bible. But he's a national hero because of that. And so we set up in October, then again around Christmas. And then the goal was, starting from the month of February on, once a month, we were going to be set up there. And we have a number of books that we get for free, Bibles, coloring books for children. I'm looking at our table now to see what else. A number of books on the family, all sorts of things like that. And so we would set up there, meet people, talk to people.
What is the response like for that?
Generally fairly positive, because we, you know, one of our goals going into this, setting that up, doing it sort of open air, is to sort of playing the long game, because we plan to be there a while and want the church to be there. And so we'd stop and talk to, you know, people would stop and talk. Sometimes they would engage in conversation. We would be able to share the gospel. Sometimes they would just take the coloring books for their grandkids or whatever, and go on. People are generally fairly honest, and so sometimes you get to learn a lot about their opinions on all sorts of things. But generally, given enough time, we've had some positive interactions and a number of people who it's opened doors to ongoing relationships with. So there's one fellow in particular that we met him, I think a month before this picture was taken in December. And he's about 60 years old. He's 59. Dad's Bosnian and Muslim ethnically, but because of that era that his dad grew up in, was a communist, he was an atheist. Practically, his mom was a Slovene Catholic. And this guy, theologically, he was sort of, if you have a triangle between atheism, Muslim, and Catholic faith, he was somewhere in between all of those, sort of quite a mess. But we still have we were able to develop an ongoing relationship. And he's just one example of that. So it has been generally positive. It's been a good opportunity for some of our Slovenian believers to be bold in sharing their faith. And so it's been good. So we've had that going on, and it'll be interesting to see how long after this whole crisis that we're able to resume that in any sort of effective way. In fact, we had one scheduled for March, right before everything really got shut down here, just 2 or 3 days, and we ended up having to cancel it because Slovenes tend to be pretty cautious, risk adverse, and so that definitely had an effect. This next picture is from our Thanksgiving celebration. We have it at our home. We've done this for every Thanksgiving that we've been here. So this would have been, I suppose, our fifth. And this was in this picture is a number of people, pretty much our whole group from Domžale, plus some of their lost family that lives nearby. Do you see my mouse cursor?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So we have a couple that we're working with. They already have been working with. They're Christians. Have been working with Slovenian Children's Ministries for some time. Gordon is right here, and then his wife Metka was holding the camera down here. They're really sort of key leaders that we're investing a lot into. But her parents are right here on the right side of the picture, and they're both quite lost. But we've been making some real inroads with them. And they've been foster parents for, I don't know, 20 years, 20 plus years. And their three foster kids are sitting down here on the floor. And so, you know, we're able to been making some real inroads here. There's some other, and then the rest there is a mixture of both lost and saved people that we have some contact with, either through our group in Domžale or our lives here in Ljubljana. And so that's been a real positive opportunity. And you see a bunch of people all together that we're working with. And then the final thing, is working on sort of a video outreach. We're really busier right now than we probably ever have been, just because everything is slower to get done. So I'm writing, 4,000 Slovene words a week.
Now, John, just so everybody's aware, so when you say you're writing that, if I understand correctly, it's because while you're proficient in the language, this is because just comfort in speaking, it's you write every word out for the messages still?
And part of that is for anything that's going to last longer in posterity, essentially if it's going to be recorded, it's helpful. I do pretty well extemporaneously. And in person, it's fine. Anything that's going to last, I try to take it to a little bit higher level. And so that does slow everything down. We're doing counseling with one particular couple via Google Meet, Google Hangouts, essentially. And, we have that going on. We're meeting now 3 times a week. Virtually on Sunday, and then prayer meeting on Thursday, and then on Tuesday we're having a men's group and a ladies group, and so there's quite a bit of prep that goes into all of that. And we've started with our sort of video ministry, and we've been working through the 23rd Psalm, and I don't know if the audio will play through. I suppose we'll see here in a minute, but video goes through. We've been starting, just going verse by verse, 2 to 3 times a week over the last.
So, yeah.
going through the 23rd Psalm. And then this week, I'm actually starting one other thing, Lord willing. I'll have to send off to my editor to have really proofread, but going to go through some of the first Slovene book, which was written by Primož Trubar, first gospel believer in Slovenia. And his whole deal was, here's the basics of the Christian faith. And by and large, it's a very, very helpful little work. And so it's sort of going to be sort of a 5 minutes with Primož each day sort of thing. And I'm going to start where he started off, which is the primacy of scriptures. And not just the primacy, but it being our final authority and it being sufficient.
So,
and so we're going to work through that.
So if I'm understanding right, the thought here is this man is a very well-known historical figure. He's a household name for everybody. But the people don't know what he believed. They don't know what he actually taught. So they know his name, but you're able to use him to share the gospel.
Yeah. He absolutely is a household name. Everyone knows him. But I would say at the same time, I probably have read more of his works than probably 99.5% of Slovenes. Honestly, it's probably higher than that. I want to leave a little gap there, but I can comfortably say I've read more of his work and understand more of his context and what he's saying than at least 99.5% of Slovenes.
And so what are the big obstacles for the Slovenes when it comes to the gospel? I mean, what are you overcoming?
I would say 1,000 years of very strict traditional Catholicism, followed by 50 years of atheism during the communist rule. And that has yielded a culture that grace is utterly foreign. And so everything is transactional. If I do this, then I'll earn this from God. And in many ways, it stems way back even before the introduction of Catholicism 1,000 years ago to the Slovene people. It's sort of a unique thing that I just learned about just in January, I think it was maybe February. And that is, in Slovenia, actual true paganism, like pre-Christian, in this case, Slavic paganism, was being practiced up until at least World War I in a systematic, organized way. Wow. Only a handful of municipalities. And it was all done in secret because, you know, for a Catholic country, that would be, you know, awful. But it persisted, though. And when you start looking at the relationships between how Slovenes practice Catholicism and their pre-Catholic pagan roots, the similarities are they're blatant. I mean, they stare you in the face. Everything's transactional. Nothing is of grace. And when you read Primož's work, Trubar's work from 500 years ago, you'll see that he was struggling with a lot of the same sort of issues. And so it ends up being really helpful to where I don't just have to, you know, as I teach through, let's say Ephesians, for example. Ephesians 2 would be a good example. It deals with total depravity and our sinfulness on one hand, and then come to the marvelousness of God's grace. It's very, very handy that I can show that it's not an American concept, but here your Slovene, most famous Slovene historical figure by far, was actually teaching the same thing about God's grace using the same passages of scripture. And now all of a sudden, I'm not just a crazy American. I may be a crazy American, but I'm also a crazy American who's saying the same thing and using the same passages in the same way, contextually correct, as a 500-year-old Slovene fellow.
Wow. So, that's a blessing to be able to have that there. What I mean, right now, what is life like with, because it's pretty strict lockdown, right?
Fairly strict. Of course, you know, there's always a good time for a crisis is always a great time for a political battle. And so as I read Slovene news, which it ends up being Twitter, ends up being like the easiest place for me to get news from both sides. There's a bit of an argument because on one hand, it is pretty strict. We're not as strict as a number of other European countries. We're restricted to our municipalities in general, but we can go on walks, we can go on hikes as long as we stay within our municipality. But it is, there's only five categories of public services or stores that are open, gas station, banks, post offices, grocery stores, pharmacies, and that's just about it. Everything else has been closed by mandate. Factories have stayed open, but any consumer-facing services have been closed for the last 4 weeks or so. Schools have been closed for five. So we're currently homeschooling in Slovene. So that takes up a significant portion of Katie and I's time. We are pretty limited, all public gatherings. I honestly can't remember the exact number right now. I think it's anything over 10 people, although it may be anything over 5 people. No, I'm sorry. No, that's not true. For the last 4 weeks, it's anyone outside of your family, unless you have an urgent need. And you meet a certain number of exceptions is banned. So, like all public gatherings, are banned. But starting tomorrow, there will be a number of stores will be opening that have not been able to be opened. And then in 2 more weeks, I can go get my hair cut finally. And a number of other services are opening in 2 weeks. So we're following primarily the Austrians, and as the Austrians allow things, we're saying we'll do that, but we'll wait like 2 weeks.
Gotcha. So how would you say that your young church is holding up?
I would say so. As far as the ability to do outreach, make new connections, and build in some of those things, been at a complete standstill. Without a doubt. However, internally, like with our actual group of people, our actual church, it has been rather positive because we've actually increased the number of weekly times that we're meeting. And everyone has gotten rather used to that and with very good attendance and participation. One couple that we actually, the couple I mentioned that were Katie and I are doing some counseling with, they have actually been more present and more involved in the last 6 weeks than they had been in the last 6 months, by an order of magnitude, substantially so. And so that has been rather positive. So actually for us, it has not been a negative time at all. In fact, I think it will actually create habits that will make it easier for us going forward once we can finally meet again to increase what we're doing, increase people's activity and connection, and really go forward from there.
And how about your family? How can we pray for you all?
Homeschooling in Slovene is a unique challenge for
because your children were in the Slovene schools, of course, right. And they're
And from the day they closed schools, which was around March, maybe it's been 4 weeks with them being at home, right around March the 15th, 16th, 17th, somewhere right around there. They had one day, sort of a vacation where there was nothing, but then on Monday, it was a Friday, and then on Monday morning, teachers had everything posted online, and we've had a full schedule. So we've basically had to split it up where Katie handles Andrew, our youngest, who's in first grade, and handle that. And then Elijah, our sixth grader, I'm handling his, and it is challenging subject matter. Geography, I don't really have a problem with it. It's fine. But there's a whole set of vocabulary and Slovene that I have not had to learn because I've never had to do geometry in Slovene. And so all of that, we'll just put it this way, it ends up being a substantial amount of time where Katie and I are probably, 3 to 4 hours a day, each of us, handling schooling on top of all of our other responsibilities. So our days have been long for the last month. And frankly, that's probably going to continue. The Slovene educational minister said that they have no intention of being the first in Europe to experiment with, our children and our students. And so we're going to be watching everybody around us. So I would say at least another month for us, without a doubt, will be homeschooling them in Slovene. And so I would say that. And then the second thing in general, we're holding up pretty good because we can go outside, we can go on bike rides, we can stay active and not be too. We have good friends who are missionaries in southern Spain, for example, and they've not been able to leave their home.
Wow.
Pretty much all on a short walk outside or one parent to go to groceries for the last 6 weeks. And so that would be a very, very different thing if we had to do that. But the other thing is doing all of our ministry essentially online and these forums. When you're a native speaker, if the connection is bad, if someone doesn't have the best microphone, our minds can naturally piece together, if we miss one word, it's not the end of the world because we can sort of figure out what's going on. When you're doing it in a Slavic language that is rather, it's one of the rather more challenging ones, it is a nightmare. And so, there's a great deal of time where I've got to think, okay, are they saying something heretical? Are they saying something that's indicating like some other major problem in their life that we're going to have to talk about at some point? Or is this just craziness? Why is everybody laughing at this joke? There's all of these things that are much, much easier to navigate in person that now all of a sudden we are handling nonstop virtually. And there is a toll to that both mentally and almost in physical exertion too, that we just would not have planned on. And I would say we have at least another month here of going forward with.
Yeah, and I know you and I had spoken several weeks ago, and I know another thing that you had mentioned is regarding support for missionaries and how crucial that is. And, it's month to month with missionaries like yourself, so you don't necessarily know how your finances are going to be affected. Have churches been in contact with you, or are you?
Yeah. So far, one thing is a lot of missionaries are already somewhat cyclical because, some churches give monthly, some, we have some that give every other month, some that give quarterly. And so we've already, honestly, so far things have been fairly consistent, but frankly, probably this month and really next month will be a better gauge of that, because for us, the third month of each quarter is by and large our lowest month of support. And so March was low, but it's always low. April is already high, but it's always substantially higher because it's the first month of the quarter. Next month, I think we'll be far enough in to where we will start seeing things, and we can look at the last, the quarter to 3 months together as a unit. But it will be rather interesting to see how that is, because it is one thing we have seen is that you do see fluctuations in support as things go on with the economy. This has had major effects on everyone and everything. And how that exactly will work out will be telling, but we're probably about a month away before we even really have the first really good initial clue to that.
Well, I think we need to, you know, we need to be in prayer for you all and for all of our missionaries, because, and I think you shared with me in a text message, is we're going to see an open door. We're already seeing it in the States with, you know, people's hearts being open that were not before. And you've probably seen some of that as well. I know you had shared that with me. So we need to be thoughtful for all our missionaries, that to keep them on the field and to reap a spiritual harvest through this.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, John, we don't want to keep you up much later. We really, really appreciate you staying up this late to do this. Would you just maybe share a few of the thoughts of what you've put together in Slovene? You've been talking about Psalm 23. Maybe just take a very short moment to just share with us some thoughts from that, and we'll leave on that note.
All right, that sounds good. And your brother has carefully placed the clock over his shoulder.
Yes.
Clear indication of what's going on there. You know, we've been taking the psalm apart and looking at it essentially verse by verse. But there's three. There's three themes that we have tracked through it, and the first one is controlled by the theme of, and I'll have to remember because all of these I've been doing all in Slovene, so we'll see how that works putting it back into English. But the first idea has been, I shall not want. I'm not going to suffer need because the Lord is our shepherd. And you track that through the first two verses. And the first, actually, probably the first three. And then we come to the valley of the shadow of death. And then even in the next verse, in verse 5, we have the table prepared before our enemies. And we get to this idea of no longer is it just, I'm not going to suffer need, but I will fear no evil. And then the final thing that we tracked through in the last verse was, I will dwell forever. And so we've been controlling our whole study through these three themes of I shall not want, I shall fear no evil, and I will dwell forever. And as we see those, you start to see how the psalm also has like these three metaphors, at least two. The middle one's sort of debatable, but you have these controlling metaphors of obviously the pastor, the shepherd, rather, of the first few verses. Verse 4 and is an option. Is you could have sort of a guide or a fellow traveler. And then in the final ones, we see that this idea of a host and his guest. And so we looked through what all of that means for us. And because the Lord is our shepherd, then our first theme is, we will suffer no want. We shall not want. And then because he's our fellow traveler, he's our guide, we're not traveling this life alone. I will fear no evil. And it just so happened our Easter Sunday was when we came to verse number 4. And so we just kept going and turned verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That was our Easter sermon. And the whole idea there is Jesus, the reason we can fear no evil when it comes to any valley of trouble, up to and including the most severe and the worst, which is obviously when we come to death. The reason we can walk through that is because he is with us, and he's able, because he is the first fruits, the first begotten from the dead. He is the one who has went through the valley and come back through it to get us. And so as we travel through, we are traveling with one who knows the way. And then we wrapped up, actually today we finished up the last verse, which is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the follow there is a much better translation than Slovene, where it is essentially will accompany me. And it misses the idea from the Hebrew word, and when you start following through the Old Testament, it is this idea of pursuing. It's often, very, very often used in the context of enemies. And yet here we have that idea turned on its head where it's not enemies that are pursuing us, but it's the Lord's goodness and mercy. And it'll pursue us all the days of our life. And I will end with this, and that is my grandfather had a rather interesting job. Sometimes he was a sheriff's deputy, other times he worked for the prison system in North Carolina. But in both cases, he worked with bloodhounds. He trained bloodhounds. And the whole idea was somebody escaped from jail, from prison, or somebody they needed to find so they could put them there but was running loose in the mountains. He'd go out with the bloodhounds. And they were, you know, not the fastest of trapping dogs, but they were very, very good. And they'd go over hills and, you know, through valleys and over across rivers and all of that day and night, following the subject they were after. And in much the same way, we can think of God's goodness and mercy in the same sort of way, that in all of these circumstances, they are always right on our trail. And someday, of course, the house of the Lord there is talking about the temple and God's presence. But one of these days, we'll safely arrive at home, and we'll be able to look back through crises, being stranded in European countries or whatever may happen, and we will be able to see God's goodness and mercy, even when we weren't necessarily certain of it or couldn't even see all of the implications before. We'll be able to see that those two hounds, so to speak, have always been on our trail from the time we trusted Christ to the moment we arrived safely home. So that's Amen. What we've been looking at.
Amen. Well, let's pray together, and we'll wrap it with that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time that we've shared tonight, and we do thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, what an encouragement to know that in everything we face, your goodness, your mercy, your grace is following us. It's after us, Lord. And as your children, we can't even escape it, but you will find us. And so we love you and we praise you for that. I pray for the Grasties. I pray that you would give them just a special measure and portion of your grace, Lord. Give them strength as they deal with all these daily tasks now that have been complicated, and the schooling and the leading of their church and ministering to people. I just pray that you'd encourage them and give them the power of the Holy Spirit and help them to walk close to you. I pray for their financial support to be provided. I pray that God's people across the U.S., Lord, would continue to give to missionaries and continue to support your work. And so we pray that we'd be able to look back at this time, both here in the U.S. and in Slovenia and around the world, and we would see the souls that you've brought to you through this crisis. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to have a small part in that. So we thank you for your care and love for us. We pray that you bless this night. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. And we'll say goodbye. Good night, everyone.